Christy Purcell is kind enough to join us right now. She is the candidate for 58A. She's kind enough to talk about her upcoming race. Christy, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Oh, thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate being the Dem of the day. I'm honored.
it's not an official title. No, I'm glad you're on, because the whole point of this segment is, I mean, it's nice when I talk to I live in Hopkins. My district is represented by Cheryl Youakim. She's going to win. Mm-hmm. I can pretty much guarantee you she's going to win that seat again. It's, you know, there, and we don't take it lightly, but that's a pretty strong DFL district. What my goal here is to get people out of their safe districts and get them into these other districts so they can help out. And your district down there, I mean, how much did it change in the redistricting? I think you actually had a pretty substantial change, right?
Yes. Yeah, so the geography of the district changed pretty significantly, but because of the way Minnesota redistricts with the legislative panel, the makeup of the district is still pretty purple. Mm-hmm. So we, as you said, went from 20B to 58A. So maybe one of the biggest number swings, as they do that circular numbering.
I think it is. I think it actually is the biggest one. I can't think of another one that went that much.
Yes. So that was surprising when those new maps came out. But really, it's some similar communities of the district from 20B. So I live in the town of Northfield, mm-hmm. and then some of the smaller communities and rural spaces to the west of Northfield. The district used to expand further west, and now it goes kind of north and then a little bit west. So the community of New Prague, for example, is newly into this district now. So mm-hmm. that's a bigger shift, but it seems like looking at the numbers, it's a similarly very purple district. It's mm-hmm. not, it's not a for sure in the DFL column by any means.
But it also is, and I think a lot of people, when you describe the district, would be surprised. Like the DFL are down there. Yeah, there are some DFL strongholds, including the town you live in. Northfield has become more and more DFL, and I know that you got the colleges down there, but it's become more part of the metro. I mean, Northfield. It's as hard as it is for me to believe, there's a lot of people that live there and travel up into the cities. And it is changing as far as the dynamic goes. And with that change comes a more DFL strength. Once again, not the whole district, but definitely Northfield has become more and more DFL.
Yep. Yes. And we had for, I can't remember how many terms, David Bly won the seat in the House for many consecutive terms. And he stepped down two cycles ago. And then our current representative Todd Lippert, who was previously a pastor at the UCC church here, he threw his hat in the ring, and he's won successfully the last two rounds, but certainly not a seat any of us take for granted. It, as I mentioned, is very purple. It does help to have two liberal arts colleges in town. There's about 5,000 students. Not all of them vote in the district. A lot of them do absentee ballots for their home districts as well. But I do think, I love surprising people when they learn a little bit more about our district or my community, because we are told, especially in a national level, that rural spaces are a monolith. Rural spaces should just be ceded to the GOP. And I have found that absolutely untrue.
Yes.
And I hope to continue to be able to paint a more nuanced story of what rural Minnesota in particular looks like.
I get furious when I hear DFLers talk about, oh, we need to give up on the districts. And no, you fight in every district, every single district. And you go on out there, because, I mean, the DFL message is a winning message. And I don't care if you're in the heart of the city or you're out in rural Minnesota. The DFL is the district, is the party that's trying to help these districts. And that's just the reality. And yes, you have a different district than the metro area ones, but it doesn't mean mm-hmm. those DFL principles don't apply and apply strong to your district.
Exactly. And I think my family, my spouse was a farmer for many years, and there's really incredible strength and connections within the farming community in this area. And I believe we have to really make sure to get that F back in the DFL. Of course, we need to make sure that L is in there as well. But I think that that has been historically the strength in Minnesota, is to be able to marry farmer interest, labor interest, and the Democratic Party all together. And I hope that my district can be an example of where that can work and be a shining example for other spaces, not to just give up and cede this territory.
Christy Purcell, kind enough to join us, District 58A. Let's take some time right now. Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit to everyone out there? Who exactly is Christy Purcell?
Thank you. We just jumped right into it. So my name is Christy Purcell, and I currently live in Northfield, Minnesota. I grew up in Rochester and went to college in Northfield, and then lived many places around the state, around the country, and eventually then kind of boomeranged, found myself back here in Northfield. My family has been here 7 years now. I am a parent. I have two elementary school age children, ages 7 and 9. I've been an environmental and nonprofit professional for most of my working life. And currently I'm executive director of a clean water nonprofit with our office here in Northfield, formerly known as the Cannon River Watershed Partnership. Last year we changed our name to Clean River Partners. So that's my current place I hang my hat.
Wow. No, that's going to resonate. There's something nice there. Northfield, it's interesting. Okay, so Northfield, when I was a kid, was a little like Wall Drug to a point. It's like, oh, well, they got the Jesse James stuff there. And not many other people. And of course, saying all of the colleges there and this stuff. So you get you had that, but it was kind of one of those things where it was kind of one off. I was down in Northfield about 7, 8 years ago, and I was like, what? This is cute. It's nice. And in Northfield, and it's not, I mean, I'm not going to talk about, you know, some towns it's hard to go in there because you see the remnants and the ghosts of the past.
Oh,
what you don't
it's
see,
heartbreaking.
Yeah, you go to Northfield, you don't see that. Talk about that a little bit, because that has been, that's the positive growth you want to see in a small town community.
That's right. We are downtown through generations of people really caring, really looking out for, have made sure that our downtown continues to be a vibrant and viable place for people to do business. My office is downtown, but as well as for people to come visit. So it's next to the beautiful Cannon River, and our downtown street there, there's all kinds of different restaurants and different shops. It's really kind of a destination for folks to day trip. So I heard you plugging, you know, come on down and do door knocks. We will have plenty of opportunities to do that. And then you can get a delicious meal or a craft beverage. We have 3 different craft breweries in the area, 2 in Northfield proper, 1 just south in Dundas. There's a craft cidery just outside of town in the country on a farm where they grow the apples. It's really quite a place. And when my friends and family come down from Minneapolis and St. Paul, they're always like, this is way closer than I thought it was going to be. And I always say, don't tell. it's a little hidden gem. Come and visit. Come and check it out. But I think Northfield can really be an example for small to mid-sized towns. We have 20,000 population, but that includes 5,000 college students. So it's really a special place, a wonderful place to raise a family, for sure. That's one of the reasons why I came back here.
Well, it is cute, and you're not going to stop the people from going down there. It is absolutely adorable down there. The district is interesting because you do have New Prague on the west side. You have Northfield on the east side. But you do have a lot of farm territory in there. Let's talk about some of the farmers' issues here that are going to be important for you to champion if you get up into St. Paul here.
Yeah. So, luckily, I feel really grateful. My current House Rep, Todd Lippert, has really been a champion for farmers and making sure that at the state level, we're able to support farmers doing the right thing for clean water, for climate, for soil health. And that's a way that I've been able to plug in to what is happening at the state legislature, is through his work. And so it's my number one priority to be able to continue that work and to be a champion for the small to mid-sized farms. And especially, we have so many farmers and people, you know, growers in the rural space who are truly leading as far as their environmental footprint, looking at how they can mitigate climate change. So I think that has been really, really inspiring to me. I have learned a lot from these farmers who are instituting cover crops so that they'd never have any bare soil. Because the moment you have bare soil and there's snow melt or there's a hard rain, your topsoil is in Lake Pepin. And if not Lake Pepin, down in the Gulf of Mexico. And so keeping that soil there for the environmental benefits, for the climate benefits, and for the profitability of our farmers. We want them to stay here. If the farmers can't make it on the land, who is going to come in and buy up the land, and what kind of an ethic are they going to have? I don't know. I don't want to know. I want to keep our farmers right here doing the thing that they know how to do, and they know how to do it well, and make sure that we're supporting them when they do the right thing and lead the way.
I know broadband's going to be an issue here, especially, there's a lot of places, especially out in the far western part of the state, northern part of the state, where it's hardly non-existent. What is the broadband situation right now in 58A? Is it there, or is there still a lot of line to be laid here?
Yeah, it's pretty spotty. Okay. It really depends. I mean, even in the town of Northfield, kind of depends on what part of town or where that fiber has been laid or not. So it's pretty patchy. I know that there's a mobile home park where they do not have access to high-speed internet, although then there's a business right next to them, which does have it. So there's definitely some discrepancies, and some is just some dumb luck, and some seems a little more intentional, not serving the lower-income neighborhoods. Potentially.
Well, I mean, and that's the problem here, is that's exactly what it is. I mean, it reminds me when I was a kid, and I'm dating myself a little bit, when cable television came in, and where you got it was in only in wealthy communities. And it wasn't until it got out that it all of a sudden became the thing that it was. But it was one of those things where wealthy people are like, I'm watching cable tonight. And you're like, oh, I don't have that. You can't have that. I mean, you can't have that mentality. This isn't just a luxury item anymore. Considering the nature of schools, healthcare,
exactly.
Business, you gotta have this. And so you can't have this mentality of, well, we're going to go into the one or two neighborhoods where there might be some middle, upper class people, and that's it. You have to have a much more widespread plan. And it's disheartening to hear that, even in districts which are close to the metro, there still is such spotty service down there.
And I think it really was laid bare when we went to remote learning 2 school years ago.
Yeah.
And then it is quite obvious in the school district and some of our local nonprofits just absolutely hit the pavement. We're going door to door to provide iPads to students and to figure out, hotspots to make sure that students had access to school, because that's how they were accessing school. So I think that issue is definitely more top of mind for folks in the area than it was 3-4 years ago. It was just very, very obvious that we have a ways to go to fix that.
Farmers margins are always an interesting discussion point here. I mean, and you kind of talked a little bit about it. You got the cidery, which sounds fantastic, by the way, cidery and stuff like this. Are you seeing the farms change that much down in that area, where you're getting much more like farmers market farmers, where they're bringing in produce and stuff like that? When a farmers market is there, you're turning it into kind of organics and kind of specialized business. Is it changing, or is it still pretty much bread and butter farming gone down there?
Yes, that's a great question. The type of farming my spouse was doing, we were doing kind of the small scale organic. We had a cut flower operation, so very specialty crops. And one reason why we ended up here is because there is quite an extensive network of people doing that sort of thing. Farmers markets, community-supported agriculture, selling locally to the school district and the colleges and, restaurants in Minneapolis, the local food thing. Mm-hmm. And that was what I knew coming in 7 years ago when I moved to the district. And having the privilege to work at Clean River Partners and being able to work with conventional farmers, they are still here. They're still such an important part of our community, and there's a lot of row crop agriculture that happens here, but there are still some grazing that happens as well, some animal agriculture on this middle and larger scale. And it's been just so wonderful for me, because my growing up in the city and having more of this sort of specialty crop market experience. It's been wonderful to have the blinders taken off and being able to see all the different kinds of farmers, and just even driving around to be able to see the different types of agriculture. People who are leaving stubble on their acreage, which sometimes gets called trash, but we call it armor. Mm-hmm. It's protecting that soil. Those roots are staying in the ground. It's keeping it from blowing away or from drying up too quickly. And so we really have a wide variety of different types of farming operations. And I think what's been the hardest, and this is across the board for all the farmers I've interacted with, there's questions around healthcare. If someone does not have an off-farm job, how do they get affordable healthcare?
Yeah.
There's a question about, right, just profitability and margins. And so even if people might want to work on their farm, there's so much uncertainty and there's so many things that are tied to other pieces that they feel like they have to go off farm and get you know, a 9-to-5 job someplace or work hourly just to have access to some of those pieces. And so something like, you know, Minnesota Care for All or something like that is not just a progressive Twin Cities issue. That really impacts the choices that farmers and rural people are making too.
This is a reason why she's fantastic. That, you see, that's exactly what it is. Is you just took something that gets labeled by Republicans as one of those liberal things from the Metro,
yep,
and you just took it and Minnesota Care and apply it to all the farmers. All of a sudden, you've got a fantastic idea that gets the farmers there. I mean, you talk about the specialty farms. You got the benefit of Minneapolis-St. Paul, so you get a premium price, mm-hmm, for your product,
yep,
that's here. You can change these things out, and then you basically don't have to have people. They can still be farmers, and they don't have to be three other jobs while they do it. It's fantastic. I do want to mention, I'm going to mention this real quick here. I don't think we have to question your environmental chops here. The DFL Environmental Caucus gave you the approval there. I will also say that you got a nice endorsement from Representative Todd Lippert for this,
yeah,
seat for 58A. So this is obviously, he's kind of passing on the torch to you. You're a fantastic candidate, and to everyone out there that's listening, you've got to get down there. Well, first of all, a cidery. I think we can all agree that needs to, we all need to go to that.
And a couple breweries.
And a couple breweries. It's right next to the metro area. It's just south of town here. This is not a far drive. You can get down there on a weekend, door knock, go out and have some great food, help her in the district. You can also make a donation. Christy, if people want to get in touch with your campaign to help out, what's the website for them to get in touch with you?
Sure, it's ChristyPurcell.com, and of course there's many ways to spell both of those names, so it's Christy with a K, and then ending with an I, and Purcell with an S. But if you Google it, you should land on it.
I will link to it on social media. Go to Twitter, Facebook, I'll be all linked to it a little bit later on. Christy, all my best. We need you in St. Paul, and I'm going to be excited when you get in there next session. So thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Oh, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And thanks to all your listeners. Take care.
Take care. Christy Purcell, 58A, Democrat of the Day. We'll take a break. Wrap up hour one when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.